The first reading today is Isaiah chapter 55, verses 4-7. It's in your pew Bibles on page 742. Invitation to the thirsty. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labour on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations that you do know you will hasten to you. Because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendour. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading is taken from John chapter 6, starting to read at verse 41 and can be found at page 1071. 1071. At this, the Jews began to grumble about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I came down from heaven'?" "Stop grumbling among yourselves," Jesus answered. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'They will all be taught by God.' Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves. "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, unless you can eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. for my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever. He said this while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, it's a real joy to be with you today, even if rather unexpectedly. Neil is self-isolating, and so I said I would come down this morning. But let's be clear, I am picking up Neil's sermon. I've played around with it just a tiny bit, but this is what he has prepared. So we will be going from that. But let's start by praying. Father God, we thank you that you are a sovereign God, sovereign over everything. And Father, we thank you that you are a God of compassion and of love. You want each one of us to listen to you, and we pray now that we would open our hearts and our ears to listen to you now. We pray that you'd be with our brother Neil and Sharon as they are in isolation, and many others like them too, Lord, at this time, this odd time in our history. And we pray, Lord, that each one of us would be looking to you, would be comforted by you at this time. And we ask this for your name's sake. Amen. Well, at the Blenheim horse trials in 2018, a 39-year-old Cassandra Grant posed as a nurse. When a man was suffering from a heart attack, she offered to help. But it was discovered that she was a complete sham when she had to ask when dealing with another patient where to insert the cannula. She'd also previously conned people into thinking she was a doctor, writing, do not resuscitate on several patients' notes. Fortunately, though, she didn't cause any harm before she was arrested and sentenced to 4 years in jail. Now, many of us need to trust ourselves to a doctor for serious medical care at some point in our lives. And of course, it's really important that we know it's safe to trust them. You want to be sure their credentials are genuine. Your life is in their hands. Although it's important to get a doctor's identity right, getting Jesus' identity and work right is far more important. And we'll see that in the questions people asked of Jesus in the passage that we've just had read to us from the Bible, from John's Gospel. In the passages prior to the one we've had read to us, you may recall we've seen Jesus feeding 5,000, a crowd of at least 5,000 people. And then he went on subsequently to speak of himself as the bread of life, referring to the way that God had fed his people in the wilderness in Exodus chapter 16. And we're in the middle of an increasingly heated discussion between Jesus and a group of Jews, perhaps Jewish leaders. And we know from verse 59, the very last verse that was read to us today, that it's taking place in a synagogue at a place called Capernaum. And in our passages, the Jews ask two questions about Jesus. And they're really important questions that demand answers from each one of us. The first question the Jews ask is about Jesus. Sorry, the first question the Jews ask about Jesus is in verse 42. Have a quick look at that. Verse 42, they said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we don't know? How can he now say, I came down from heaven? So that's the first question. How can he say, I came down from heaven? They think it's a ludicrous claim to make for Jesus to think that he came from God. So that's the first question. The second question is in verse 52. We'll have a look at that in more detail in a moment. But let me just set that out now. The second question is, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? What on earth does he mean? Does he literally mean we must eat him? What's going on? Well, the answer Jesus gives to their first question points us to the first response that we should be making, and that is to take heed of Jesus, to pay careful attention to Jesus. Have a look at verse 41 again. At this, the Jews began to grumble about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I came down from heaven'?" Just a few moments earlier, Jesus has made this staggering claim, "I am the bread of life." And in the middle of that claim, he'd said, "I have come down from heaven." And that's what's got them going. That's what's got under their skin. That's what's got them grumbling. God's people had been characteristic grumblers during their 40 years in the wilderness after God had rescued them from Egypt thousands of years before, especially in the episode when God gave them manna, that special bread which was to keep them going, to sustain them in the wilderness. And we read about that in Exodus at the beginning of the Bible. They were just so slow to believe what God said and to trust him. And like their ancestors, the people in our passage just can't accept that claim, "I came down from heaven." What rubbish. We know his father and his mother. How can he claim to have come down from God? He's just a normal bloke, just a normal man. Why should you take heed of, why would you pay attention to Jesus if he was just an ordinary person? Their response to Jesus' claim that he came down from heaven is like that of every human being if just left to ourselves. And that's why Jesus interrupts him. Have a look at verse 43. "Stop grumbling among yourselves," Jesus answered. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'They will all be taught by God.' Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father." In verse 45, Jesus refers to something the prophet Isaiah wrote. In the book of Isaiah, we read of God describing a time when his restored people would gather around him after they returned from exile. And at that point, they would listen to their Savior God, showing their allegiance to him by being taught by him. They would listen to him. They'd take heed of him. They'd pay attention to him. And now here is Jesus. Here is Jesus claiming to fulfill just that. In fact, implying that he is God himself in their midst. And we see that expression "came down from heaven" 5 times in these verses. It's in verse 41, 42, 50, 51, and 58. And then in verse 46, Jesus speaks about himself as the one who has seen God the Father, and so can speak with total reliability about him, since he is from God. So Jesus could not be clearer about where he's come from, could he? He's come from heaven, being God himself. And that's why it's so important that we take heed of Jesus, we pay careful attention to Jesus, because he alone has come from heaven. He alone has come from heaven. We must come and listen to Jesus, who alone has come from God. And that is an outrageous claim to make, isn't it, unless it's true? He's not just a great religious leader, which is what some of the people called him earlier in this chapter, in verse 25. They'd use the word rabbi. He's not just a great religious teacher. He's not merely a prophet, or even the long-awaited prophet of verse 14. He's claiming to speak from God in a way that no one else can. And if you and I are serious about knowing God for ourselves, well, then we need to do what he says in verse 45, where he says, "Everyone who listens to the Father learns from him comes to me." Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. If you're serious about hearing God speak, then you must listen to what Jesus is saying. We're so privileged to have what Jesus says written down in the Bible, to be able to read it on tablets or on mobile phones. He's God, genuinely making himself known in person. Neil has just come back from training people in Kathmandu. And whilst he was there, he was talking to a Christian leader who had become captivated by a so-called prophet, a sadhu, I think is what he was called, from India. And he told Neil how this sadhu had claimed he'd met Moses and Elijah and had special messages for the world from God. Hopefully we can see that that is a crazy claim. So why would someone chase after such teachings? You see, we have the words from God firsthand through his Son now recorded in the Bible. And the enormous implications of this become clear in what Jesus says next. Let's have a look at verse 47, well, the next few verses. I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Well, whether we take heed of Jesus' teaching or not decides whether we live or die. Whether we pay careful attention to his teaching or not is a life or death issue. And that's the shocking language that Jesus uses here. He makes it abundantly clear. I tell you the truth, he who believes has eternal life. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. Get this wrong, and we die. So we need to come to listen humbly to Jesus if we want to live rather than die. We shouldn't think we can work out Jesus for ourselves. The Jewish leaders around him did, and they got it wrong. It's only God who enables us to recognize Jesus' identity and give us the understanding we need. And Jesus says that in verse 44. So if you don't have that understanding, but genuinely want it, then in humility, ask God. Ask God for it. Because it's clear that he's also issuing an invitation to us to listen to him. So will you take heed of Jesus? Will you allow Jesus to teach you? If so, it indicates you do belong to him. And don't grumble in disbelief over Jesus' words, because at times he will challenge our deeply held ideas of what's true and false, and our cherished notions of what is good and bad. But if Jesus is who he claims, well, then we're foolish and wrong to disagree with him. We can't call him Lord and ignore what he teaches us. Friends, let's recognize that it's Jesus alone who reveals who God is to us. But simply believing in him is not enough. It's not enough just to believe he is God. It's his death which is so crucial, as we'll see in verse 51, when he explains that this bread which people are to eat is his flesh, which he will give for the life of the world. And that's what generates even more controversy among the Jewish leaders there. Listen to verses 52 and 53. Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." And that brings us then to that second question, which we find at verse 52. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? The thing we need to take to heart from Jesus' response is that we must feed on Jesus' death. In other words, we must believe and personally rely on Jesus' death for us and not just listen to what he says. Jesus' death is central to his work. It's not just his identity or teachings, but the cross that is essential in his mission. So far, Jesus has focused on believing in him as the bread of life. But now, as we read through verses 53 to 58, notice how Jesus uses this expression, eating his flesh. And it's a metaphor. It's a metaphor for believing in his death. He's using this figurative language to help us grasp how personal this trust is to be. Having a loaf of bread in front of you doesn't help your hunger as much as you might believe it's there and nutritious. Neil's wife, Sharon, started making sourdough last year, and she recently branched out into seeded loaves, which Neil clearly enjoys. He describes them as scrummy. I look forward to being invited round someday when all of this is over and enjoying some of that scrummy bread. But when Neil is hungry, he writes, he needs to do more than just believe the bread exists and stare at it. I mean, it's obvious really, isn't it? He needs to sink his teeth into it and digest it. So faith in Jesus is not just intellectual assent that he existed and was who he claimed to be. It involves you and me depending on him and his death for ourselves, because it really is, for each one of us, a matter of life and death. Listen to what Jesus says next in verses 54 to 56. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. So far, Jesus has been using this idea of eating this bread, but here he swaps to speak of eating his flesh and even drinking his blood. What does he mean? You can understand why some of his audience are offended by what he says just after this in chapter 6. So let's think carefully about what he does and doesn't mean. Basically, Jesus is speaking in a figurative way of his death, because we've already heard in verse 4 that the Passover is in the background. And Jesus' fellow Jews would be very familiar with the instructions God had given his people for that first Passover recorded in Exodus chapter 12. God told them that a lamb had to be slain for each household, and its blood had to be smeared over the lintel and the sides of a doorframe of every house. And the family would all identify with that rescue as they ate the roasted flesh of the lamb. And now here in John 6, Jesus is appointing ahead to his fulfillment of the Passover. He would bring that about when he'd reach Jerusalem and die on a cross during the Passover feast. He's just said in verse 51 that the bread he's been speaking about is his flesh, which I will give, future tense, for the life of the world. So it's not that he's literally giving it to those people listening to him in the synagogue in Capernaum, but have a look at verse 57. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever. Do you see what Jesus is saying? Feed on his death, because he alone can raise us to life forever. Feed on his death, because he alone can raise us to life forever. Jesus underlines the strong contrast between the Israelites who perished in the desert and those who depend on his death, and therefore will have life with him forever. Now, it's easy to see why people can get the wrong end of the stick and think Jesus is speaking about Holy Communion or the Lord's Supper at this point, because he speaks about eating and drinking in connection with his flesh and blood. But let me explain the good reasons I think he's not referring to this. First, Jesus speaks of this eating in parallel with believing in him. Verse 40 states, "For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." It's paralleled in verse 54 by, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." So to trust in Christ and his death and keep on trusting all he's done for us by his death and his resurrection is what it means to feed on his blood, flesh and blood. Secondly, Jesus speaks about his flesh, not his body here. In the accounts of the Last Supper, which Jesus shared with his disciples, he uses the word body, But flesh and body are very different words in the original Greek language. Thirdly, in this passage, there's no wine around, even though Jesus mentions drinking his blood. The bread had been there earlier in the chapter at the feeding of the 5,000, but there's no mention of wine to drink. Fourthly, this all happens not in the upper room in Jerusalem the night before Jesus died, but in the synagogue in Capernaum before he's reached his final destination. So this isn't John's account of the Last Supper. And then fifthly, Jesus does not speak about doing this in remembrance of me. His death on the cross is still a long way off, or still a way off, I'm not sure it's a long way off, though it is clearly very important, and it's actually what he's referring to with flesh and blood. Now, any of those reasons by themselves might be dismissed or explained away, but put them all together, and you can see why it's unlikely that Jesus is talking about the Lord's Supper. And to mix the two is confusing and can lead to wrong thinking. Instead, look again at what Jesus says in verse 54. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. So to trust in the Lord Jesus and accept his death for you is to have eternal life now. Look at verse 54. It says, has eternal life. It's to begin that relationship with God here and now. But also, verse 54, I will raise him up on the last day, because Jesus' death was not the end for him. He rose again. Because God the Father raised him from death, he will raise all those who trust in him. That's a wonderful promise, full of hope for us who believe. The Israelites in the wilderness ate bread from heaven that God had given them, and yet they still died. But Jesus' death brings real life now, so we can enjoy knowing God already. Not only that, but his death also brings resurrection life. So Jesus' death brings real life now, but his death also brings resurrection life when he will return at the last day. And those who trust in him are raised with him with resurrection bodies like his forever. And Jesus uniquely can give life to those who believe in him. Well, the question for us then is will we do these things? Will we take heed of Jesus? Will we pay careful attention to him because he alone has come from heaven? Will we feed on Jesus' death because he alone can raise us to life forever? If we do take heed of Jesus, if we do feed on his death, well, we have that amazing hope. What a thing to look forward to. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus, the one who came down from heaven. Father, we pray that we would take heed of him, we would pay careful attention to him, we would listen to him, because he alone has come from heaven. And Father, we pray that each one of us would feed on Jesus' death, because he alone gives us life now and can raise us to life forever. Father, may we do that. And may we rejoice in the promises, the hope we have because of these things this week and always. Amen.